Welcome to Bridge City Church. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. Everybody doing good? You doing a little better than you were when you came in? Some of you? All right, well, let's hopefully get to like 60% before you leave. Maybe 75? 85? 90? Are we believing for 100%? Okay, I like it. Courageous faith. It takes courageous faith to believe for 100%. We're continuing that series today, Courageous Faith and Joshua. I'm going to have courageous faith that I'm going to preach Joshua 5 in 20 minutes. 20 minutes. We're going to do it in 20 minutes. What do you think? You think we could do it? All right, Joshua 5, circumcision. Father God, thank you. Have a good day. There we go. Now listen, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about today's message because it's all about the covenant of God. It's all about how we walk in that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And God, give us a great expectation for what you're going to walk us into and walk us through. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. How many of you have ever taken a shortcut before? Anyone? Anyone? All right, I have. I've tried to take a shortcut before in my life. Does anybody remember a time in life where we actually didn't have a GPS in our pocket? You remember those days? Remember when you actually had to have like a Garmin on your window? And you had to plug it into your cigarette lighter in your car? Remember those days? Yeah? You had to charge it? How many of you actually remember the AAA triptych? Yeah? Any of you ever successfully refolded one? Nope, you can't do it. Not possible. You needed a degree from AAA University to refold one of those things. You did. I remember, they used to charge you for triptychs back in the day. I'm that old. Remember, you had to pay for them. I think they were like $20. My mom. I remember she used to just go get triptychs. We never even took the trip. She just had triptychs. It's like a mean trick. But listen, I've had the distinct honor of getting to go to a couple pirate games with Pastor Rick. And actually, I've gone to pirate games with Pastor Rick and Pastor Keith Tusey. And you get those two guys in a car at the same time, it's actually pretty scary, okay? Driving those two men around at the same time. But here's the thing. They don't like traffic. They don't like being still. They don't like being stuck in places. Now, I'm fine. As long as I have good company, let's stay stuck, okay? I'm cool with that. But they don't like not moving. So Pastor Rick, actually, you'll never see him park forward in a parking space. He has to back in. And he always says, because I need to be able to leave quickly, and this isn't my final resting spot. I'm like, all right, whatever. I just think you want to prove that you can back into the spot. But anyways, driving home from a pirate game one time, I always type in the GPS on my phone, take me home. Even though I know how to get home, I want to know how long it's going to take. Now, a 20-minute drive, 25-minute drive can sometimes take an hour because of traffic. Now, there's not usually a lot of traffic leaving pirate games, let's be honest. It's not a Steeler game. But it can take some time. We're leaving the pirate game. It's going to take 45 minutes with traffic. But Pastor Rick, Pastor Keith, they don't want to stay in traffic on 376. So they know a shortcut. Two Pittsburgh dads in the car at the same time. They know a shortcut. It took us 2 hours to get home from the pirate game. Sometimes a shortcut or trying to beat the system can definitely lead to more time, more frustration. Sometimes following your flesh can lead you to paying more, getting stuck, or doing some things you shouldn't have done. Am I right? The shortcut can always take you longer. There's shortcuts in all areas of our life. There's shortcuts in your marriage. There's shortcuts in raising your kids. There's shortcuts in your finances. And most of the time, they always equal frustration. They always equal selfishness. They always equal, I should have made a change earlier. How do we make the change? We need to die to ourselves. We need to die to ourselves. We need to get rid of our flesh. So what's the big idea of today's message? Removal of our flesh. Reflection on the covenant of God and a recognition of Jesus as our commander. Now you're like, wait a second. We're cutting flesh off today? Hope you got Band-Aids. No. Spiritually speaking, we're going to spiritually get rid of some things today. And we're going to reflect on the power of the relationship and the covenant of the relationship with God. And we're going to recognize who Jesus is as the boss. He's the man. What he says goes. When he says jump, we say what? When he says jump, we say what? I love it. We don't say, my knee's really been bothering me. It's really, it's just inflamed. And I jumped yesterday. No, we say how high. We as people of faith, as a church, recognize who he is. And that we're going to jump. Joshua 5:1. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. Now listen, this would have been a great time to press the attack against their enemies. The people were melting. They were paralyzed with fear. They had lost the spirit to fight due to fear. They were in shock of what just happened. God's people, when they step out in courageous faith, our enemies take notice. The enemy was in complete awe, and they were paralyzed because of the miracles that just happened. So God's people are thinking, now it's time to attack. Let's go. Let's roll. Let's do this. But hold up. God said, wait. His plan was a little different. Joshua 5:2-4. Removal of flesh. Dun, dun, dun. Here we go. At that time, the Lord told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise this second generation of Israelites. Hold up. You want Joshua to make what and do what? You can't tell me the Bible's not interesting. The guys don't want to laugh right now. The guys are like, wait a second, this is uncomfortable. The ladies are like, you guys are all good. The guys are like, okay. So Joshua made the flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at this place. It's impossible to say. It's really hard. Gibeath Haraloth. I listened to it 14 times this week. Even the guy on the Bible app has trouble. There's three A's in the first. It's hard. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. So God called Joshua and the people to press pause because he wanted them to remember the covenant. He wanted them to remember the relationship. He wanted them to remember who he is and the importance of relationship with him before they ran ahead. God said, hold up, slow down. We have to address some very important things first. Now, in our minds, this would have been extremely illogical. Not only were their enemies trembling in fear, but circumcision would have left the Israelite men at a painful disadvantage. But God's ways aren't our ways. Am I right? Amen. God sees things differently than we see them. He cares about our faith in him and our relationship with him more than he cares about the blessings he wants to give us. Now let's explain circumcision a little bit. It was a sign of consecration to the covenant with God. Now, in it, the Israelites said, I'm not like the other nations. I want to listen to God and do what he says and do as I should do. It was a stepping out in faithful obedience and identifying yourself as one of the Lord's people. It was renouncing the flesh and the world. It was dying to self and living for God. It was just an identification that you were one of God's people. I'm not like the other nations. I listen to God and do what he says. Now, I'm very thankful that in the New Testament, the guys are leaning forward now. They're like, okay, New Testament, I'm really thankful. He's thankful, I'm going to be thankful too. In the New Testament, and this is for all of us, circumcision is very symbolic of putting off the flesh. Colossians 2:11, a circumcision of the heart. This is not a one and done thing. This is an everyday occurrence. There are things every single day. Our past life, our old nature, that we can cut away, that are keeping us from God. There are things that aren't of God that we need to get rid of. Our past. Things that people may look at us and think, that's not of God. That doesn't represent him. That's of another nation. That's of another culture. When people look at us, does it represent God? A cutting away of our flesh, of our hearts, a sign that we're in covenant relationship with him. Covenant, Joshua 5, 7 through 9. Let's keep going. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Now, you know they rested because, guys, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes, I mean, we get man colds, right? Obviously, we get more sick than ladies do when we get a cold. It's science. It's natural. Guys, we get colds worse than ladies do, right? Am I the only one? Guys, you don't want to admit it? When I get a cold, my cold is worse than Rachel's. It's just natural. When I get a boo-boo, it is worse than Rachel's. Like, I got a boo-boo on my finger right now, and it is worse than any boo-boo that Rachel's ever had. Lennon has already adapted to this. He knows. If he gets a boo-boo on his leg, he has to hold it up out of the bath. It's just something we as guys have. We're used to being cared for and pampered. So the males rested. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, so that the place has been called Gilgal to this day. God is instructing Joshua to reinstitute the action because people entering the promised land had not practiced it during the 40 years in the desert. The generation that had grown up free from bondage but disconnected from the promised land entered in. They had to leave their old ways behind. You know, we prayed during worship, and I believe that there were a lot of people that they were going to leave their old ways behind. Some stinking thinking. You know, I look around the room, and there's some people that have moved forward in their lives, and they've left their old ways behind. Left some generational things behind and are walking in the promises of God. You know, this was a sign of their faith and a trust in God, and this moving forward identified them with a patriarchal promise. Now, I want to pause here. They made a point to pause and recognize the covenant with God, and they had this moment where those men that weren't circumcised were circumcised so that they could be in covenant with God. And imagine for a moment with me. You can't circumcise yourself. Let me put this in a perspective so we can all understand it. You wouldn't circumcise yourself. If you have an opportunity for, okay, let's take it down a few levels. If you have an opportunity for someone else to rip a Band-Aid off of your arm, or you to rip the Band-Aid off, what do you choose? I always choose for someone else to do it. It hurts way less. Because if I do it, it's like, and you get all the way to the end, and then you go, real quick. If someone else does it, they could care less. It's not their hair. It's not their boo-boo. It's not their hurt. Am I right? They just rip it off and tell you to suck it up. But it doesn't hurt as bad. Why am I telling you this? If you're going to get to the promises of God in your life, you need to be able to trust others to help you cut away the things that need to be cut away. You need to trust others in your life. There are things in your life that need cut away and need removed that nobody's going to know unless you tell them. Hey, I got this thing. And if you trust somebody, they're going to help you cut it away. A lot of you came up here today and you got prayer. Maybe it was the first time you ever got prayer. I'm proud of you. Some of you, you sat back because you were fearful. I'm believing for you. You can do it. You can trust somebody. Covenant, the cutting away of things, is to participate and belong in relationship with others. Covenant is all about being with other people, and whenever things hurt, you don't run away. Covenant relationship means I'm in this and I'm not going anywhere. Covenant relationships sometimes get offended. I bet you, out of some of those people that got circumcised, the knife might have slipped a couple times. I'm just being honest. You think some of those guys could have got offended? It might have taken a couple extra days for some of those guys to heal up. But they were in covenant relationship with everybody. Something is going to happen over the next 12 months that may offend you. But that's a good thing, because we're all going to move forward together. Something that you read in the Bible over the next 12 months is going to offend you and challenge you. If it doesn't, I'm going to question what you're reading in here. Joshua 5, 10 through 12, while the Israelites were camped at Gilgal of the plains of Jericho. The plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread, roasted grain, and harvested from the land. No manna appeared on that day. They first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. From that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. After removal, courageous faith requires reflection. They remembered. There was redemption, and they remembered. Listen, our deliverance is according to God's goodness. This Passover meal they shared, the Lord's Supper, this communion, they walked in it. They reflected on God's goodness, on His faithfulness. This also builds our faith. You know, but the busyness of our society, the busyness of our life, the busyness that surrounds our lives often doesn't allow us to reflect. It doesn't allow us to look back at all that God has done, all that He is doing, and all that He is going to do. Our culture doesn't allow for us to rest and look back at our work and see that it is good. Reflect and count God's blessings in our lives. To pull away and find peace for our soul. Because our culture always wants us to push forward, always wants us to look ahead, always wants us to go for the next thing. Instead of just, look at all that God's done. You know, I have to look at my wife all the time and look, we prayed for this. We prayed for this. I have to look at you all and think, we prayed for this. I remember walking the streets of White Oak praying for this. We didn't have a church yet. We didn't have a home yet. And now I know, I'm looking forward to the Pittsburgh missions trip. We're going to walk the streets again, looking for a new home. But we're going to reflect on what God has done. We reflect and remember not only what He's done corporately, but on our deliverance from sin. Jesus, the commander. Joshua 5, 13 through 14. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you a friend or a foe?" "Neither one," he replied. That's a gangster response, right? Friend or foe? Neither. Imagine today's world. Somebody's standing in front of you with a gun. "You a friend or a foe?" "I ain't neither one of those." "Well, what are you then, sir?" He said, "I'm the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I'm at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing on is holy." And Joshua did what he was told. Church, we need to recognize where our help comes from. We need to recognize where our help comes from. We need to recognize where we're being called to. We need to recognize that we're being called to take a city just as Joshua was. We need to look up and realize that there's a city outside these walls. Pittsburgh missions trip's coming up. Today's the last day to sign up. All the information's on the screen behind me. We'll share a little bit more about it, but there's a city outside these walls that needs a commander, needs to know who he is, needs a people that's going to step out in faith and say, I will do what you're telling me to do. As though we are engrossed in something else, we can look up and say, I'm going to go. I don't believe Joshua was caught up with just scouting the city. I believe he was praying and wandering and wondering, how are we going to take this city? You know, Joshua's ability was to recognize the necessity for leadership, and his assistance outside of himself was a game changer. But God's saying, I'm here now. I'm with you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going with you. It's a huge moment. Joshua's response, what do you want me to do? You know, when we recognize that God doesn't take sides, he takes over. Game changer. When we recognize that God doesn't take sides, but he takes over our marriage, he takes over our parenting, he takes over our finances, he takes over our friendships, he takes over when we submit to him and he becomes the leader, game changer. When we recognize that the question isn't really whether or not God is for us, but whether or not we are with him, game changer. You know, Romans 8, not going to come up on the screen, but it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it talks about all the things that can't separate us from God. If he is for us. Not demons, not even death. For tomorrow, no worries. It says nothing can separate us from the love of God. But it starts off with if. So I have a question for you today. Is he for you? Have you made that covenant relationship with him? Have you cut away flesh of your heart? Have you recognized him as commander? Have you celebrated the fact that you've been rolled away from your past, the bondage of your past, your Egypt? Or do you just want to stay there? Because remember, as they were traveling, they complained. We could have just go back. We could just go back. It was better there. At least we had food. We didn't have to eat the same old stuff every day. Sometimes we get happy living in our junk. We're Pix burgers after all. So do you have a day, a time, a moment where you've accepted him as commander, where you've accepted him as leader? If not, may today be your day. June 25th, 2023. If that's it, if that's you, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, Jesus, that's me. I need today to be my day. Anyone at all. Father God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that you've given us the ability to cut away, to remove our flesh from our lives and the things that are keeping us from walking in a complete covenant relationship with you. God, may we submit ourselves to you wholly. God, may we submit ourselves to you as commander. May we be with you in everything that you're leading us to and for. God, may we align ourselves to you. God, may we make sure that our home is submitted to you. May we recognize the holy ground that we are walking upon. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen.